Right wing three in the air. It's good.
Throws it down with two hands.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I cannot stand one shining.
Lucas hit it from the right side.
This is so unlike you, Rich.
But you're so positive and sentimental and optimistic.
Best dad ever.
Call me sappy. You can do it. My school losing by one wasn't a shining moment for me. The moment stunk.
Earlier on the show, Baylor head coach Scott Drew. Coming up, WWE champion Bobby Lashley. NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace. Plus 76ers president Daryl Morey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We are sitting here in Los Angeles, California, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, and their possible and their spots, and their and then our social media grandmaster T.J. Jefferson is sitting in his spot. He's got a little pep in his step today because he is the Rich Eisen Show wrestling expert. WrestleMania is this weekend. It is exclusively being shown right here, where the Rich Eisen Show can be seen every single day, which is on the stupendous app Peacock. Peacock is the home of WrestleMania on night one of WrestleMania coming up this Saturday on WrestleMania 37. The card, Bobby Lashley will defend the WWE Championship against former champ Drew McIntyre. He was on the show just a few weeks ago to announce the deal that Peacock had made to have the WWE join all of us here on Peacock. And so to be fair and balanced, Bobby Lashley will be on this program in about 18 minutes time. And you are wearing what t-shirt are you wearing over there?
I'm repping the Hurt Business right now.
Hurt Business.
Bobby Lashley's faction, you know, and let's just say there's an opportunity maybe for me to get in there. So I just want to pitch him on this Hurt Business.
Okay, get in this conversation. Okay.
Into the actual group.
Oh,
Rich.
And you want to get into the Hurt Business?
Well, there's a possibility. Yeah, okay. I have a pitch. And
well, I mean, why not, TJ? I mean, yeah.
If not me, then who?
Good things all come in three. First one is you get above the fold on your hometown newspaper above because you hang with the stars here on the Rich Eisen
above,
Show.
Yes.
Oh, pardon me, below the fold. He needs to get above the fold.
He was below.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, but
it doesn't matter. You're on the front page of the local Altoona newspaper.
Altoona Mirror.
Hanging with the stars here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's one. Number two is the catamaran that you won from, we're all assuming you won on The Price is Right that you shot late last month and is going to air.
And he definitely hit a dollar and maybe like 5K extra.
What if he does it all? I got it. What if he pulls up on May the 4th, the day that airs? Yeah, in a brand new car.
New car.
Towing a catamaran.
Yeah. And then he actually names his boat and invites us to go on it.
Yeah,
imagine that.
That'd be great. So there's two. So number three is why not try to become part of the Hurt Business?
Yeah.
And he won it on hole in one, the golf game, or two.
So, I mean, Bobby's had a lot of run with the WWE, man.
Yeah.
And then left for 10 years. Now he's back and he's a champ. So there's lots to talk about with him. You got the history here. He was selected by Trump to represent him in the Battle of the Billionaires match against Vince McMahon. Do you know who Vince McMahon's representative in that battle was?
The Battle of the Billionaires.
A wrestler named Umaga.
Umaga.
True story.
Oh, my God.
So it was Future Maga against Umaga.
Umaga, 2007.
Well done. Nice.
Stone Cold was the guest ref.
That was a shave your head match, right?
Battle of the Billionaires,
of course,
shave your
so
head.
So Trump wasn't going to win. He wasn't going to lose.
That one, no. So there's lots to talk about. Bobby Lashley coming up in about 16 minutes time here on the show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We had Scott Drew of Baylor Basketball in hour number one. Bubba Wallace will join us in hour number three. Daryl Morey of the Philadelphia 76ers, the man who's shopping for the groceries for that Sixers team that is trying to keep pace with the Nets that just keep winning with all of their all-stars minus Kevin Durant. Is he going to play again this year? What do you think? Kevin?
Well, he is actually active for tonight.
Hey!
He's tagging in, but
James Harden's out at least 10 days.
10 days
at least. He just walked off the court yesterday.
There you go. Sixers and Nets tied atop the Eastern Conference.
Celtics.
Right now, the Knicks and the Bulls are playing in against each other. And the what's going on with your Celtics, Chris?
Yeah.
What's happening? What's happening? Why are you not even responding?
We stink.
All right.
Well, I mean, Chris, in your defense, you just went up against a dominant force.
You know, let me tell you why. You want to talk about how big of a joke the NBA is when it comes to officiating. in three games.
Oh my gosh.
Against the Sixers this year. Okay, Celtics versus Sixers in three games. We've played three times. We've lost all three.
Embiid shot 19,000 free throws?
50 free throws. You know how much the Celtics have shot together as a team?
Yes.
50. One guy, 50. The whole team, 50.
Maybe you should stop fouling
Embiid.
Yeah,
I mean, you're hacking him a lot, bro. Why are you beating him up like that?
Yeah, okay.
And plus, he's a big dude, Rich. You know, he goes, the Celtics, they like to shoot jumpers.
I didn't realize.
Embiid's parked down low. He's going to get hacked. He's going to get fouled.
I didn't realize Scott Foster and Dick Pivetta were doing those games.
I'm telling you, man.
Wink, wink.
I told you this. I'll tell you again, man. I know everyone loves the Bucks, and for good reason, because of Giannis or whatever.
He's great.
But for all those out there who think that the Nets are just a bunch of ring chasers getting together, right? Where Durant's like, I want to play with Kyrie. And then Harden's like, I want to play with Durant and Kyrie. And then not one, but two guys get bought out and join the team. And it's just one big all-star team. It's just like one big, it's like Brooklyn Jam 3, right? And it's, and for everybody who just doesn't want to see a team like that win, for whatever reason, you, sir, your Philadelphia 76ers are our only hope. That's
it. We're like Obi-Wan to Leo.
Obi-Wan,
You're our only hope.
Help us, Joel Embiid. You're our only hope.
Well, he's back and healthy, and we'll talk about it with Daryl Morey.
Well, maybe not completely healthy, Rich. He's got a leg brace on that is, holy cow. Did you notice that, Brockman? The leg brace he has on is monstrous.
Well, he's a large man, so that's the reason the knee brace has to be, you know, proportional.
Oh, it's sizable, though. He's got a sleeve covering it, but, man.
I would imagine Embiid's knee is the size of your hip.
I'm a big dude, so maybe not mine.
No, I'm not just saying, well.
He's like a foot taller than you, and you're a big dude.
Do you have a poll? A poll question?
Oh, I do. So I do have polls, and I have news. Okay, depending on what,
so let's
what
do
you
all
want
that.
To do.
Let's
here.
Do a poll question and the news, sir. Go for it.
So I had two polls today. One based on a topic we were all kind of passionately arguing this morning.
Yes.
Football related. What's the most interesting division in the NFL this year? We can always revisit this at any time. The NFC South, the NFC West, the NFC North, and the AFC East. Those are my options.
Oh, gosh. You know how I...
Interesting division in the NFL.
All right, what else you got over there?
And then it's also the... Let's see. 1993, let's do some quick math. Is that 28 years ago today?
Yes.
No, 32 years ago today.
Yes.
Major League released.
Okay.
And then 28 years ago today, The Sandlot. Two iconic baseball movies
that?
On the same day released. So this is kind of based off of Major League's release.
Yes.
If you could only have one movie pitcher take the mound for you in Game 7.
Oh, yes. I like this.
Who gets the ball?
Okay.
Here are my options. Wild Thing. Yes. I know he was a closer, but he started out
as a third. I mean, Game 7s need to be closed, too.
Right.
Yeah,
sure. Wild Thing.
Right.
Billy Chappell from For the Love of the Game. We know he throws the perfect game in that movie.
Spoiler alert.
Nuke Lelouch.
Okay.
Henry Rowengardner.
That's my guy.
From Rookie of the Year.
Henry Rowengardner.
He's very bad. Still Joe Boots well.
No, I
just
know.
Just kind of having some fun off,
okay,
the, off the wall.
Okay, I guess
today.
I could have.
Off the wall.
I could have thrown this one out pre-show, but you know you like it when I throw stuff out in show and you've already posted it.
I haven't posted anything yet, so.
What about Tatum O'Neal from Bad News Bears?
There you go.
Ooh.
I mean, Lily Diamond, though. Only 45 feet for the pitcher's mound.
Okay.
I understand.
Might so have game a, seven, all right.
You know.
All right.
Just
pop it up there.
Just throwing some stuff.
I'm so glad you put Henry Rowengardner in there because that was going to be my response.
I was trying to think of it before.
Well, one of the starting pitchers in Major League is the same actor who plays one of the dads in Hoosiers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. He's also Dan Devine in Rudy.
Right.
And he's also Conrad Hilton in Mad Men. Yeah.
Now we officially now need to know this man's name. Hold on a second.
Yeah. He's the one who stole Joe Boo's rum. Yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah. He is, what's the actor's name? Chelsea Ross.
Chelsea Ross.
He's in Billions too, isn't he?
Chelsea Ross has been in
so many TV and movie shows. Great, great that guy.
Dude, he's been in Rudy, Major League,
and And Hoosiers.
And Hoosiers.
Yeah. Remember, he's the fill-in coach. Leave the ball, will
Dan
you?
Dan Devine. Yeah. Rudy.
Honestly, how many does that lead the league in being in some of the greatest sports movies?
Easily.
Honestly, like who else has been out there?
Easily.
Well, Kevin Costner.
How about that one?
Besides Costner.
Obviously.
And by the way, my favorite of his, which is still a sports movie, not baseball though, is when he played Senator Boehner in The Last Boy Scout. Did you ever see that movie?
Dude, this guy's that guy.
He is that guy, man.
All right, so I like, by the way, 1984, on this day in 1984, Dwight Gooden made his major league debut. Against the Houston Astros in the old Astro Dome in 1984, his first career strikeout. I saw this video today, and it's a name that was mentioned by the great novelist Harlan Coben when he was on my podcast Just Getting Started a couple weeks ago. Because he's a, you know, I didn't know if you knew this about the novelist Harlan Coben. He was a diehard Astros fan who was at game four of the 86 NLCS in the old Shea Stadium, rooting for the Astros, who were starting Mike Scott, who, as you know, is a four-letter word in the history of the New York Mets because they thought he was doctoring the baseballs quite a bit.
I heard some trash cans pounding when I was a little kid.
Yeah, well, at any rate, the first career strikeout of Dwight Gooden, Dickie Thon.
Hey, now.
Man, Doc Gooden was
Richard
so good.
Richard Thon was the first career. And then, of course, the strikeouts that Dwight Gooden would get from there on out would help create a K-corner that Mike Del Tufo is getting credit for in the archives of the New York Times. He was there at his buddy doing the K-corner. They left early. Mike took it over. That's when the New York Times came up and said, hey, tell us about this K-corner.
You got to love that
And
story,
so Del Tufo is now quoted as a founder of the K-corner in the annals of the old gray lady, the New York Times.
I was looking at
it all started Mike. Today. It all started on this day in 1984.
Yeah, see clearly.
I was looking up
36 years ago.
Doc Gooden's baseball reference before the show today. He has a lot more wins than I thought. 194 career wins for Doc Gooden.
And ready for this? This is not fair what I'm about to do, but it is in my DNA to do this.
Uh-oh.
Which team did Dwight Gooden throw his no-hitter for?
Here we go.
let me think. Because,
you know, he never threw one with the Mets.
Nah, it was another team. I think
which is the team that hired Dwight Gooden?
The same one we won a championship with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
who did Daryl Strawberry win his last championship?
Let me think. It's another team. They also wore pinstripes, I think.
Uh-huh.
By the way, the Yankee team needed a bunch of ex-Mets to help get them over that hump in 96.
Oh, dude. I mean, Cecil Fielder was a big hitter on that team.
Well, he was
Wade
an ex-Met.
Boggs rode on a horseback.
Talking David Cone, Gooden, Strawberry.
Put it all together.
He had 16 complete games in 1985.
His 85 season is unbelievable.
How great was that Yankee team in 1996? Here's how great that Yankee team was in 1996. Because you put all that, Jimmy Key was a starting pitcher for the Yankees in that World Series.
John Wetland was
a closer. Yeah. And their lights-out reliever to take them from the starter to the closer. The setup guy.
The setup guy.
Who would pitch two innings pretty much every time out was Mariano Rivera. And if the starter could only last five innings, Joe Torre went to Ramiro Mendoza.
Oh, yeah, Mendoza.
Yes. Or Jeff Nelson and Mike Stanton.
Bob Wickman. Mike Stanton was big.
Bob Wickman, too.
But who, yeah, so the New York Yankees got Dwight Gooden
to the glory.
Also, Kenny Rogers.
I despised Kenny Rogers.
Won 12 games for
Kenny
that Yankee
Rogers,
team.
Kenny Rogers was the Ed Whitson of that team. Like, he could not handle the pressure. The 1996 World Series game in which they came back and Jim Leyritz homered off of Mike Wohlers is because Kenny Rogers just absolutely pooped the bed. And then...
Wow.
I remember the 1996 World Series. Yankees lost the first two because Andrew Jones, I think he was just been bar mitzvahed. Like he was 18. The youngest player maybe in the history of the World Series to homer. Yep. And they just lit it up. They crushed the Yankees, and then the Yanks went down and took all three in Atlanta.
Yep.
And it looked like it wasn't going to work out for them in Atlanta because the Braves just smoked them in Game 4, but they came back, and then I was petted out dueling Smoltz in Game 5 to lead to the Game 6.
The highest paid player on that 96 Yankees team, any guesses?
Well, it couldn't have been Derek Jeter, the rookie, and it couldn't have been any of those. The other was it Boggs?
It was Ruben Sierra.
Ruben High Sierra. As Berman would say.
Ruben Sierra.
Let's not forget Kenny Rogers also walked in the winning losing run, because, however you want to put it, in 99.
Kenny Rogers is a four-letter word in the city of New York, with all due respect to wherever he is right now.
His roaster is great, though. I'm telling you, they got some great chicken.
Different Kenny Rogers.
Oh, that's not him?
No, it's not.
Oh, my bad.
No, there was a roaster for him in New York City. Steinbrenner, it wasn't one of Steinbrenner's favorites at all. Dwight Gooden on this day in 1984. I would take in that poll question.
Yeah, so if you could have one movie pitcher on the mound for Game 7, who gets the ball? Rick Wildthing Vaughn, Billy Chappell, Nuke LaLoosh, or Henry Rowengardner?
I know who I would take. I'd take Wildthing.
Wildthing. Early results.
With all due respect to everybody else, I'd take the Wildthing. Come then, close that thing.
Mr. Charlie Sheen.
Exactly. Just don't throw an off-speed pitch to Altuve. That's the only thing I would expect, because he'll just take that right out like he knew it was coming.
A high slider? How does anybody hit that ball?
Pulled it out.
That high slider.
Outside corner.
That is insane.
Out. He yanked it out.
How many knocks
yanked
on the can?
It out, but do not touch my jersey.
Well, no, he was getting buzz.
He was getting buzz. That's right. That's right.
Dusty Baker's
somebody signaled.
Angels fans feeling you. Here in Southern California, we didn't talk about it yesterday. Let's just quickly hit it here because we're on the subject matter. Bobby Lashley is going to call in of WWE fame. He's going to be taking on Drew McIntyre on Saturday night here on Peacock and in WrestleMania. They threw trash cans on a field.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not condone large objects, whether they are inflatable or not, to be thrown on the field of play. And that's a little bit much.
It's taking it a little too far.
But, you know, as we all know, last year, fans did not get their chance to personally vent on the Astros.
They did not.
This has now been a year plus in the making. And Dusty Baker basically has told everybody to move on, that everyone here kind of served their penance in a way. I don't know about that, to be very honest with you. I think that now is the time for fans to do it. And guess what? There's a lot of fans who aren't returning to the stadiums this year just yet because they're not comfortable doing so, or they don't feel like they can get into the stadium. They're not going to do it. This is years to come. This is still coming. And our friend of the program, Alex Bregman, probably deep down knows it too. But they're all raking, all of them. All of these Astros have shown
fire.
Up raking in the first week of the season.
Right now.
So that's the way to shut everybody up is just keep doing it again.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think Dusty's saying to everyone that this is too much and, you know, enough's enough. We already heard it. We've all made mistakes in our life. You know, there's a difference between a mistake and being part of something that is long and sustained. This is not a mistake. This was a choice. That's the difference. It's a mistaken choice, but it's not a mistake. Oh, my mistake, I didn't mean to step on your toe. My mistake, I didn't mean it to come out that way. My choice, I'm cheating to make sure you don't win. Difference between mistake and choice. Please. This is not called a mistake. And I know you're doing the buzzer over there, and I have my fun with it, that I still don't believe Jose Altuve literally had a buzzer underneath his jersey. But the whole business please. I just hit one of the most amazing home runs.
Don't take my jersey off.
Somebody who throws 19,000 miles an hour, but I just took an off-speed pitch straight out.
He was like this.
And this is the most amazing moment of me to celebrate with my teammates. But please, I'm thinking of how upset my wife will be with me if I take off my jersey. We got to get a better answer. And this whole thing isn't a mistake. It was a conscious choice.
Buzz, buzz.
So, and I love Dusty Baker.
Two if by land.
And he's doing what he has to do. He has to support his guys. And he's got to bottle this up if people are going to go crazy and throw stuff on a field. But no, not a mistake. It was a choice. Bobby Lashley, when we come back, that's a choice. You know, we choose to have him on.
Yeah, of course.
He chooses to call in. My bad. I didn't mean to call in. My mistake.
Wrong number.
Uh-huh. Coming up here on Peacock.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to our radio TV simulcast, to our radio audience. We just showed an appearance of Dennis Haysbert, the actor who plays the great Pedro Serrano in Major League, which hit theaters on this date back in
89.
On this date in what year was The Sandlot? That
93.
Came out? And then in the 70s, it was on this date that The Bad News Bears was released.
Can't be a coincidence, right?
No, of course not, because they're all baseball movies, so you have to have it in a baseball season. So when a movie is put out at a certain time of the year, you can call it that. That's why Die Hard was a summer movie.
Ooh,
you take a look at when it was released.
You're right. Rich, Miracle on 34th Street
was released in the summer.
Like, come on.
It was released in the summer because the way that it was promoted was to make it a surprise that it was about Christmas. And the movie executive in charge of the film at the time decided the biggest audience was in the summer. Didn't matter. They hid the fact that it was about Christmas. Until it came out.
Yep.
Read up if you're going to come at the King.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you guys lose this debate every single year.
No, we don't.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show in advance of a huge WrestleMania event, huge for us here on Peacock because it's going to be streaming live for the first time exclusively on Peacock this Saturday and Sunday, the 10th and the 11th of April. And on night one, part of WrestleMania 37's Monster Card, this man is going to defend the WWE Championship against former champion Drew McIntyre. He is none other than Bobby Lashley here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Bobby?
Hey, I'm fantastic, man.
Thanks for joining us here. Do you have any sense of is Die Hard a Christmas movie, Bobby? I didn't think we'd go in this direction. We just. What do you think, Bobby? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? What do you think?
I got to say it is. I believe it is. I think that they used so much in it, and it was around the Christmas time, and everything. There was a lot of Christmas stuff that was involved in the movie, so I have to say it was a Christmas movie.
Well, thanks for joining us, Bobby. I appreciate you calling in here. How's life for you these days?
Christmas time, not a Christmas movie, a movie during Christmas time.
Well, I guess Christmas Day, if you will, is coming for all of us here on Peacock, as well as the WWE, with WrestleMania 37 being exclusively on Peacock. How is everything looking down? Are you in Tampa already at Raymond James' side of the Super Bowl in this year's WrestleMania? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, well, I'm ready. I'm not in Tampa yet. I'm actually in Denver. I just left my last training session before I leave out of the cold and head down to the warm down in Tampa. But I'm definitely ready, and I'm ready to head down there and do some business, do some work.
Well, I was in that stadium for the Super Bowl, and the fact that there were fans there. How often have you wrestled? Have you performed in front of fans lately, Bobby?
Well, it's been about a year. And for us, it was kind of challenging because when the pandemic happened, everything got shut down. We were kind of stuck in a building, and we were doing shows with no audience at all for some time. But then after that, we had the Thunderdome, and we put the screens up so that they were able to log in and watch us. So then it made it a little different. So it's been okay, but we're definitely ready for the fans to get back.
Well, and that's going to be again on Peacock coming up this weekend. How does one go from Missouri Valley College to be the NAIA National Wrestling Champion in the 177-pound category as you were to the WWE? Walk me through how you got started on that journey, Bobby.
Oh, boy. That was a long journey. I grew up in Kansas. My dad was in the military, so we were all over the place. I ended up getting a scholarship to Missouri Valley. Went up there, and I was pretty successful down there. I took fourth as a freshman. And then I won nationals my sophomore, junior, senior year. And 177 went to 184 to 197. And then when I was at the Olympic Training Center after college, I wrestled at 96 kilos, which was 211 pounds. And I was pretty successful there. I took second to the world championships, the military world championships, and represented the United States Army team at world championships and for nationals a few years. And then Kurt Angle, which was wrestling in the WWE, came down to the Olympic Training Center when I was training, and he and I started talking, and he was like, man, you got a great look, everything about doing professional wrestling. I was a big fan of Kurt's growing up anyway, from high school to college and into the WWE, so I was a fan of his, and I already knew Kurt, so it was kind of a big deal that he came to me, but he kind of opened up the door for me to come in. And to make a long story short, after I met Kurt, I was still at the Olympic Training Center, and I was training to make it to the 2004 Olympics. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. And on the way through, after me and Kurt, a few months later, I was in a bank. The bank got robbed, and these guys came in shooting. I took a dive down to the ground, split my knee open, ended my amateur wrestling career.
Get out of here.
And, I ended my amateur wrestling career because I landed on my knee, exploded my knee, and I had to get my bursar taken out, my meniscus. It just huge damage. But before that, a couple months before that, Kurt had saw me at the Olympic Training Center. He already passed my number along. So after I had surgery, one of the guys from WWE called me up, and I'm sitting there laying on my couch thinking, I can't believe this happened. You know, 20-something years of amateur wrestling. This is my main goal. These guys come in, shot a bank, ended everything for me. I didn't know what to do. I was like, what next? Sitting on my couch praying. I don't know where I get a call from WWE. They're like, hey, you know, we saw you at the last wrestling tournament. Kurt spoke really highly of you. We want to bring you in for a tryout. And, you know, I thought it was a joke. I thought, this is crazy. I'm on my couch praying, and I don't know where this happens. But then, you know, I rushed my rehab and got through, went down to the tryout, didn't tell them nothing about my knee or anything like that. I wanted to keep that completely quiet.
Sure.
Because I didn't want them to cut it out or not give me an opportunity because of the knee. So I didn't say anything. So I had to rehab like crazy, and then I was able to go to the tryout, and I was able to fake it through the tryout. I looked good at the tryout. They liked me at the tryout, so they offered me a contract. So from then, it was all history. You know, I came through, and I always tell people, you know, when I got to WWE, WWE's been my Olympic gold medal. This WWE championship was my Olympic gold medal because it's at the top, and that's where I wanted to get, and that's where I trained my whole life for. So when I got into WWE, I just, you know, just busted my butt for years and stayed on the grind, and finally, I won the WWE Championship, and finally, I get the main event, WrestleMania. 14 years or 17 years since that date of the bank robbery.
No kidding. So,
yeah. I mean, I really skimmed through the story. The story is really elaborate, but I didn't want to go into too much detail.
No, but my gosh, I think. Story. Well, let's just say you hit the important details, Bobby. I mean, Bobby Lashley here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you're saying it's a combination of hard work, determination to succeed in amateur wrestling, a chance encounter with Kurt
Angle,
and then a random moment in time in which your life was on the line because you walked in into a bank at the wrong place at the wrong time. And altogether, that's part of the reason why we're going to watch you go against Drew McIntyre in WrestleMania 37 on Peacock Saturday night, essentially.
It's destiny, man. It was destiny.
Wow.
Destiny. I mean, I remember laying in the bank. I remember laying down on the floor. Because what happened, these guys came into the bank, kicked the door down. I was in the back of the line, and all the tellers were facing the door, and I'm facing the tellers. So when they kicked the door open, the guy automatically went shooting, which was, unfortunately, right towards the back of my head. But because everybody was screaming because these guys were breaking through the door, I had turned my head to turn around. So the bullet essentially went right over my shoulder into the wall. And when I saw them, I took a dive down to the ground. So I'm laying down on the ground thinking, what is going on? You know, I was thinking, what went through my mind over and over again, it was like, this is not the way it's supposed to end. You know, I kept thinking that over and over again. I'm completely vulnerable laying on my stomach on a bank when it's getting robbed. And all I was thinking is, man, this is not how it's supposed to end.
And remarkably, it was a beginning of a remarkable ascent, you know, not just physically off the ground, but essentially to superstardom here with the WWE. I've got Bobby Lashley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's stick in the here and now. Can we stir something up with Drew McIntyre? You want to talk some crap, smack, whatever you want to do
absolutely.
Here? What do we got here for Saturday night? Something that we could throw on a bulletin board or something like that? What do you got for me, Bobby?
Well, you know, me and Drew have history. You know, I've beaten Drew down every chance that I've gotten. He's got a little bit on me, but it hasn't been the mauling that I've put on him at several different times.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? This is one thing that I can say. Everybody in the wrestling business, when they get on top, they look at the guys that they can have, like, this, I want to have a cool match with. That's how it's been lately. I want to have a cool match with him because that guy's really good. You know, I came back into wrestling after some time off, and I formed a faction called the Hurt Business.
Yes, sir.
And the Hurt Business is a group of guys that had the potential to be on top but didn't want to play the politics, didn't want to play the PC stuff, just wanted to go out and beat people up. And that's what we've been doing this entire year. So, this is destiny for me. Main event WrestleMania. So Drew is just merely a stepping stone for me. He's a great champion, and I think Drew is going to go down in history as probably one of the greatest WWE champions in history. However, right now I'm just a different breed. Right now, I'm completely unstoppable. Right now,
TJ Jefferson, Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster and wrestling aficionado, I give the floor to you. You asked a question of Drew when he was here the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I give you the floor for a question to Bobby Lashley. Go for it, TJ.
What up, champ?
Not too much.
Well, so I have two questions for you, Bobby. One, you know, my buddy Joey Granite spent some time with you in Colombia, and he had nothing but great things to say about you, and he told me tell you what up. Two, you mentioned the Hurt Business, Bobby, and we just on screen posted a tweet from MVP that basically said you and he are the Hurt Business, and they're always looking for talented applicants. Have the day you deserve. And I'm sitting here, Bobby, and I just want to kind of pitch myself to you as a member of the Hurt Business.
Wearing a t-shirt.
I have the Hurt Business t-shirt right now live on Peacock out to millions and millions of watchers, Bobby. And, you know, my thing is, bro, like, you're on TV for 3 hours a day on Monday, and then you have all the other championship stuff that you need to do. But here I am, Bobby, 15 hours a day unscripted that I could preach the gospel of the Hurt Business for you guys.
Yes.
So I'm just saying is if you're looking for that applicant, I can be your guy. And as a matter of fact, I took it upon myself to put up some photoshops of, and then you see there's me, you, and MVP.
Yes. Look at that.
You know, I DM'd you to your Instagram so you can see these pictures. You know, me and the Hurt Business. And also, Bobby, the Hurt Business is all about the gold, right? You're a champion. You're all about money and championships,
YOLO,
correct?
TJ, YOLO. Yes, YOLO.
Great
so
great
I want to say this, Bobby, on this website, Wrestle Rumble on Instagram last year, I won every single NXT title, 8 of them, Bobby. So I'm draped in gold myself. I got the NXT Heavyweight Championship over here. And there's me, you, and MVP, me with my 8 NXT belts. I got the NXT Men's Heavyweight, the Women's Heavyweight, Bobby. Look, I got the Cruiserweight. I have the North American. I got the Tag Team. I have the UK Men's and Women's.
Ask him the question. Do it.
So, Bobby Lashley, what I'm saying is, if you need someone for the Hurt Business, I think I'm your guy. And I want to put pressure on you. I'm going to ask you for a slow yes instead of a quick no. That's all I'm saying.
Wow! That was a hell of a pitch. You know what? I usually typically tell people, because people usually pit those pitches at the wrong time. I'm in the middle of an interview right now, so it's personal time. If you call me on my business, we can talk business.
All right. So I
gave all that package. Call me on my other line, my business line. We can sit down. We can have a discussion about it.
I'd like
that. Right off the bat, I got to say your pitch was quite impressive.
Thank you, sir.
And we're always looking for people that like to strive for that gold. So I will definitely keep you in mind. So when you do call me on my business line, then we can discuss this.
You're all about business. I'm with it.
I'm all about business.
Well, and one more thing. Let me just quickly jump in here. Bobby, he is trying to help brand you. This is kind of business in a way.
Yeah.
This is your personal time, but he's helping brand you on this show. And as the man whose name is on the show.
He's got his name on coffee cups, Bobby.
I'm more than happy to lend this platform to TJ on behalf of joining your Hurt Business. So I'm now, if you will, coming in top rope on top. To try and pin this thing down for you, TJ.
I appreciate that. Something to think about, Bobby. Just something
to think
about.
Man, well, I gotta tell you, with a reference like that, I think we might be able to do. I got to give MVP a call, but I'm sure he'll probably be on the more positive side. And I think we might be able to do some business.
All right.
Like I said, I know we got to run it by P, but I'm okay. And one last thing, Bobby.
Oh, gosh.
One last thing I just want to ask you this question about, there's a guy that all of us want to see you in the ring with, and it's Brock Lesnar. And I'm just wondering, even if it doesn't happen in the WWE ring, are you willing to take that to Dana White or Scott Coker, and we could see this in the UFC or Bellator cage? You and Brock Lesnar.
I don't really think that it's a case of finding a venue to do it, because I'm sure Vince would, I'm sure Scott would, I'm sure Dana would, I'm sure anybody would want to host that fight. It's just Brock. It's him. I'm prepared. I'm ready. His Brock and his people, whenever they think that it's necessary, whenever they think it's a big enough deal, then I think that they will go and step up. And I think at that point, it'll happen. I'm sure, you know, right now my loyalty is to the WWE, but I've been a fighter my entire life. So I don't care where it is. I just think it needs to happen for the fans. So I think that's the question that you need to pose towards Brock, because I think that if he says yes, we can do it anywhere.
Nice.
Bobby, thanks for the time. Thanks for the call. Let's do this more often. And congrats on all your success. And best of luck this weekend on WrestleMania. We'll be watching right here on Peacock.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
You got it. Safe journey. That's Bobby Lashley, at Fight Bobby on Twitter, at Bobby Lashley on Instagram. What a story. What a night it will be on Saturday night. That's just the first night of the two-day WrestleMania 37 event that's going down at Raymond James Stadium. Super Bowl 55. Now here comes WrestleMania 37, exclusively right here on Peacock. So what was that? A maybe? Call me on my business line?
It's a Hurt Business, you know.
It wasn't a no.
Was that a Drake line? Call me on my cell phone? Is that what that was?
Nice.
It was a slow yes instead of a quick no, and that's what.
So who else is in the Hurt Business
right now? It's just MVP.
I know.
Bobby,
I know you want in.
So they removed two other guys from the business.
Oh, so there's openings.
So there's openings. Is all I'm saying. As you saw, MVP said,
"Yeah,
you know,
they're hiring
qualified applicant."
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen anybody shoot their shot like this since Emmanuel Shrieky was here for Del Tufo.
Hey now.
Look at me with all the gold, though.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here. So, Mike, your new boat is
bigger.
It's bigger.
Bigger and better.
Just in case you run into a Jaws, right?
No, so I could stay over at Catalina. I could
okay,
go and
great.
Spend the weekend.
Okay, and so you'd go there. Right, very good.
Yep.
And that new boat is arriving when?
Probably 30 days from now, give or take.
It's this boat is named, right, already?
It's named already because someone owned it and I'm buying it used.
Okay.
Unlike the first boat I bought.
Which was built just custom made
just
for you.
Just so everybody knows.
Yes.
My first boat is what they call a fish cruiser boat.
Okay.
You don't have to name those. Pleasure boats are what you name.
Okay.
Not every fishing boat that's small gets named.
Okay.
So that's why I don't have to name.
What's the name that's coming on the boat that you're going to yank off?
I'm not telling you guys because it's...
What?
No,
come on. You're just about to, and I just... Why?
No, I can't. It's...
Why? Security reasons?
Yes. I can't say it out loud yet. I don't want to jinx myself.
Where'd you buy it from? Let's put it this way. Here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, man. Who knows?
Where'd you buy it? You're from Los Angeles?
It might be around here somewhere.
Okay. So just... Okay, Long Beach. So... Chris, can you look up to see who owns Two Pump Chump in Long Beach?
It's Three Pump Chump now.
He upgraded.
I'm upgrading.
I don't know why that joke. It's so
never
childish.
Not going to be funny.
It's so childish. It's so beneath us.
It's not.
We are above that.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
We're not above a lot.
We're above that.
I don't think so.
Nope. I don't believe it.
Well, I don't think.
Every time I hear it, I think.
Well, you know what it is? It's like how Belichick has to update his boat with each ring he wins.
Each ring.
He's got to update his boat with each pump.
Yes. By the time I'm done, hopefully I'll be up to five or six.
So Belichick is at eight pumps right now.
You guys literally are morons. You guys are morons. Like when Rich
this
says
year, this
you're
year, hey, it's now four pump chump.
I see pump. Here, I can shut. You guys are morons. I just shut all your mics.
Oh, Mike, say, come on.
It'll be up to five pump chump, and then it'll change it to little blue pill, and then it'll be the end of it. You love when I work this way.
Wow.
TJ.
It's my favorite Rich Eisen.
Wow.
Eisen after Dark Brockman, let's
you guys
go.
Kiss my
I understand.
Jeez.
Mike, come on.
No, I'm kidding.
But you are going to name your boat Mama D.
I have to rename this boat because it's a pleasure.
Correct. So you will, you're going
to
name
Mama
it Mama D.
D. I have
okay,
to.
There you go.
It's for my mother,
that's a beautiful name.
Yeah. I love
I
that.
Like that.
Yeah,
Mama I like
D.
that for a boat. There goes Mama D.
Mama D. Mama D. They do that in New Jersey for the fishing boats in Manasquan where I used to go down the shore.
Right.
That's all the boats are named after women.
Okay.
And boats, theoretically.
Yes.
In
theory.
Are she's, right?
Are she's.
Correct.
Exactly.
Like cars.
Yep.
So why'd you name your car Stugatz then, Chris, back in the day?
Well, because it was the same. I had the same model of Chevy Tahoe that Tony had in season one.
Of The Sopranos.
Which I just started watching again last night.
So then I just named it because Stugatz was Tony's boat, and I just thought it was cool.
I haven't watched The Sopranos in a long time.
I just started rewatching it. I'm up to four. I'm going to start.
I don't have the luxury of rewatching anything.
Oh, so good.
Your time is kind of at a premium right
now.
Yeah.
There's also too much stuff that, personally, that I haven't seen. So to rewatch something, that's valuable real estate.
Can I explain to you what happened last night? Because you know, Suze is out of town, as you know.
Yeah, daycare's going on.
Okay,
that's right, Daddy.
So just real quick, explain to you. So I'm trying to catch up on Ozark. Literally, I'm so
you're
far
not.
Behind.
Oh.
You talk about rewatching shows. I'd love to. You know, well, the only thing that I've rewatched lately is Susie and I sometimes binge 30 Rock right here on Peacock because it's just funny.
Me too.
You need a laugh.
You want to laugh?
My gosh.
I mean, it's consistent, multiple laughs per episode.
Agreed.
And that's our choice. There's so many great rewatchable, binge worthy sitcoms here on Peacock, from Cheers all the way to The Office and obviously 30 Rock. But I'm trying to catch up on Ozark because Susie's far behind, and I'm going to try and do that while she's out of town. Kids finally go to sleep. My youngest boy comes in saying that he's afraid of the grasshoppers that are in the backyard.
He can hear them?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's part of it. He lists, God bless him, he comes in, he goes, four things, Dad, you know, as he's blinking. He's adorable.
What time is this, Rich?
10:30 at night.
Oh, okay. My gosh, I was long asleep.
Blinking, you know. Four things. One of them on the list is mom's not here. And I'm like, but I'm here.
Best dad ever.
Like, how is mom not being here disturbing your rest?
I'm here.
Susie's a comfort.
I'm here.
I'm Mosley.
I'm Mosley.
You know what I mean? Like, right. So I do my best to, you know, and plus he said he Googled that grasshoppers sometimes bite humans. And I'm like, grasshoppers are very, don't even look it up, Chris. All right. And then he finally goes to sleep. About 4 hours later, stop. 4 hours later, my daughter comes in. She's had a bad dream.
You said 4 hours later?
4 hours later, like 3 a.m. Oh, I don't know what time it is because I don't want to look at my phone. The blue light might wake me up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking at my phone for a time.
Yeah.
So she goes to sleep. And then my oldest, who never wakes up, he says that he was waking up. He feels like a pain in his chest. Is there something that's wrong with him?
Oh, God.
Is he Googling WebMD or something?
Oh, my God. I don't know. All three of them came in. And
what's happening? I mean, what, Rich?
And it's crazy that I'm trying to get through all this, right? And it's all good. Best dad ever.
I
can't binge a damn thing.
Nope.
Except binging getting kids back to sleep. I'm not rewatching anything.
Google that?
But here's the fascinating thing. Every single kid that I just mentioned had a better bracket than Chris Brockman.
That was a long way to go for that.
Oh, my God.
We talked about it at dinner. We talked about dinner last night. Xander says to me, make sure you mention that, right, Dad, to Chris. I'm like, oh, that's already been done. Oh. But there you go. I promised my children I would mention it at least today.
And for the kids.
Now Chris will be calling me at 4 a.m. I can't sleep. I lost all your kids.
I lost your kids. I'm wearing clown makeup.
Like I'm a clown.
You do.
Bubba Wallace and Daryl Morey, hour number 3 coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.